There is a passage of Scripture, in fact, five words out of one verse of Scripture in the Christmas story that since the Thanksgiving season, actually, I've not been able to get away from. Not that I've tried to get away from them, but they have just stuck with me like spiritual glue this Christmas season. There are five words that are a part of a message when the angels break the darkness of the night sky and announce to the shepherds that Jesus has come. These five words are, I think, earth-shaking words. They're powerful words, they're hope-filled words, and they are these words: good news of great joy. Those words have been resonating in my heart for weeks now, good news of great joy. Although back in Thanksgiving when I first began to feel the power of them, I had no idea where we would be here at this moment in history in our nation on Christmas Eve. They seem almost out of place words because of where we stand right now. Just over a week ago, an event occurred that stabbed at the very heart of our nation as 20 young children were thoughtlessly murdered, as well as six of their teachers. And about a week from now, ahead of us, although there's no moral equivalence to these two events, but ahead of us, January 1st, unless Congress does something pretty quickly in the next few days, we all are going to go over the proverbial fiscal cliff. It's going to mean some of the largest tax hikes in America for each one of us, and drastic automatic cuts to our defense, national defenses, and unemployment spiking, and us going back into a recession and all kinds of woes. We stand tonight on Christmas Eve between a hard event that struck at the heart of our nation and a fiscal cliff that leaves a lot of uncertainties in front of us. And so these words, good news of great joy, seem almost strangely to me this year out of place. Except that it's interesting, as I think about where we are right now as a nation, as we sit here on Christmas Eve, there are some amazing parallels to the Christmas story. For Luke reminds us, the gospel writer Luke in Luke chapter 2, that the reason Mary and Joseph ended up in Bethlehem was because of governmental taxation and their need to register there. And Matthew, in his story, reminds us the often overlooked, sad, horrid part of the Christian story is that in Bethlehem and the vicinity around it, an insane, tyrannical, egomaniac king killed little babies. In fact, scholars tell us there were probably close to 20 babies killed in the Christmas story. As we stand between the horrid murder of young children and the potential of massive taxation for us, we find a lot of commonality with the Christmas story 2,000 years ago. And yet, in spite of those realities in that word, in that world, the angels unapologetically made this announcement: there is good news with great joy. This is good news that is not afraid of the dark. This is good news that's not negated by evil or intimidated by the worst that the world could throw at any one of us. In spite of babies being murdered and taxation on everybody 2,000 years ago in the setting of the first Christmas story, the angels unapologetically announced to us good news of great joy. Our nation aside, maybe your life is not going so well, and good news may even seem hard to believe for you personally right now. I probably told it to you when I was a pastor, but I love the story of the father used to read the Christmas story to his young children. He'd talk about Jesus being born in a stable and all of this. And one day when his youngest boy was old enough to talk, he said, "Daddy, what's a stable?" And dad just thought for a moment to figure out how he could explain this in the way his son would understand. And he said, "Well, a stable is sort of like your sister's bedroom without the stereo." And it's quite possible that you're here tonight and you feel that your life is about as messed up as some people's bedrooms that you know. and escapism isn't working, that's just leaving you empty. And getting bitter against life and angry at God isn't working, it's just leaving you with a corroded soul. But you hear the angels say tonight, there is good news that can leave you not with emptiness, not with the corroded soul, but good news that will leave you with great joy. How can that be possible? Well, it'll be a couple of verses yet before the angels would get to that famous glory to God in the highest and on peace, on earth peace to men of goodwill. But God's glory and earth's peace requires something tangible to be founded on. And that's what the angels get to in their next verse. For they not only announce good news with great joy, but they describe it. For the angel said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. There is good news that's wrapped up not in a new political party, not in a new educational program, not in a new economic initiative, but there's good news that's wrapped up in God Himself, the living Word, becoming flesh. There's nothing sanitary, there's nothing sterile, there's nothing privileged about the context He was born into. Born in a dirty barn, put in a feeding trough, the bread of life, come to Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, as if to say to a hungry, starving world, you can have great joy. Good news can trump all other news in your world and in your life. For to you, a Savior is born. Someone once wrote, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, He would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior who could bridge the great gap between us and Him and recenter life. This is not the God who takes our free will away so that nothing bad will ever happen to us or so that we can never have the ability to mess our lives up. But this is the God who refused to stay indifferent to our plight, who refused to be intimidated by evil, and who entered a world where indeed people were being taxed and babies were being murdered, and He unapologetically said, I am the bringer of good news that will leave you with great joy. And so He entered that world. 33 years later, the bread of life was broken on a cross as the Romans slowly tortured Jesus to death. But 3 days later, He rose again. And I tell you, He's going to come back again to finish what He started Christmas Day 2,000 years ago. Theologians call this period that we live in right now between His first coming and His second coming the already but not yet. I kind of look at it as being engaged. You're not what you were and you're not what you will be. Not single and not married. You're just engaged. When Jesus came the first time, unintimidated by the darkness and the evil of our world, He stepped into us to meet us where we are. But there's coming a day when He's going to come and finish what He started. Meanwhile, we're people of the future living today. We live with good news that's bringing us great joy. This is a gift that you can receive tonight. What a gift this is. We give gifts, in fact, because God gave His gift to us. I was speaking at a men's conference this fall, and you know, I was reading one of those why it's good to be a guy things, and one of them was, you know, if you're a man, you can buy Christmas gifts for 25 relatives on December 24th in 25 minutes. And you know, I like that because that's usually how I am. Except this time I had most of my Christmas shopping done before Thanksgiving. Can you believe that? In fact, I really am worrying what's happening to me. I'm not sure. But we love to give gifts, and we love to receive gifts. But tonight there's good news with great joy. There's a gift to be received. There's a gift that brings with us durable, resilient joy. Because this, this good news. It's itself rugged enough to withstand everything that life and earth and demons will throw at you. But it's the gift of his Son that we receive. And as he was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, oh, that he would be born in our lives and this Christmas season begin to fill our lives and position us as people today who are belong to those who belong to the future and the Lord who someday will come and finally eradicate evil and make all things new. He's starting to do that in our lives right now because indeed, this is good news with great joy. In just a moment, we're going to close by singing the first verse of Joy to the World. But would you just first of all bow your heads with me and pray. Our Father, we thank you that there's a great gift for the taking tonight for every one of us. It's great news of great joy embodied in your Son coming so vulnerably to our world in spite of atrocity, in spite of injustice. In spite of all that beats us down, your Son entered it and was born in the middle of it and rose from the dead to conquer it and to bring us new life in the midst of this world today. And we pray that if any of us are not right with you, that you will forgive our sin because of what you did to die in our place at the cross. And that, Lord, that distance between you and us will be bridged through forgiveness and the coming of your resurrection life to live in us. Oh, Christ of Bethlehem, be born in us tonight, we pray. Fill us with your triumphant, overcoming spirit. Give us joy in the midst of the messiness of our lives and our world, and make all things new, we pray. We open to you. We say yes to you. We receive you as the Lord and the Savior of our lives, and we love you with all our hearts, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen to that.